It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, hello, 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 welcome one and all to Anon Radio and News to Me. It's about 1905. I'm running behind. I've got time off scheduled from work, so tomorrow I'll probably do a pre-recorded show, and then I'll record Friday's show too. I'll upload them. I'm going to bring my computer and my phone, so hopefully that should take care of it. But anyway, if I disappear, that's what's happened. I'm gonna ride my motorcycle down to Goliad, Texas, and see some family there, so, alright. Well, anyway, since I'm going on vacation, everything at work decided to just go ahead and disintegrate at the last second, which is kinda how it happens. So I've been juggling all of that, but that's fine. We'll go ahead and get it fixed up. I was waiting for an hour for somebody to reply to a super urgent issue. So, anyway. Hello, hello, hello. Big shout out to everyone that's made it. Holy moly, is Pizza Pal here? Wow, that's a trip. Anyway, hello. Welcome. We got AGK, Bob Jonkman, Claudio M's here, Jazzmaz, M. Stoney. I'm here. Pizza Pal, Ratsu, X1, Tobe, Northern Lights. Wow. Dang. A ring. Sorry I'm late with everybody here. Better get started then. We'll start the way we always start.
World news.
That's right. Throw some news in the blender here. First up, UK's Sunak reprimanded by Parliament Speaker over budget leaks. British Finance Minister Rishi Sunak was reprimanded by Parliament Speaker Lindsay Hoyle for the leaking of significant announcements worth more than £100 billion ahead of Wednesday's budget. Decisions covering more than that amount in Britain's public finances over the next 5 years were reported anonymously in newspapers or officially announced before Sunak delivered his budget, Reuters analysis showed. It's very disappointing that one of the biggest moments in the parliamentary calendar has been undermined by the continuous leaking of significant announcements to the media over several days, Speaker Lindsay Hoyle and his deputy Eleanor Lang told Reuters in a joint statement. It takes away from the importance of the occasion, which is for everyone to find out the contents of the budget at the same time, and the principle of announcing of new policy being made to the House first. Sunak, widely seen as a contender for Prime Minister in the future, has used the budget to raise his personal profile, including the unusual step of publishing his own slick promotional video. Britain's Ministerial Code, the government rulebook of conduct and transparency, says that the most important announcements of policy should be made in Parliament first. The government usually makes some of spending announcements before Budget Day, but declines to comment or speculate on tax measures in the weeks running up to the statement during a period of self-imposed PURDA, which I haven't seen before, but it's spelled P-U-R-D-A-H, Papa Uncle Romeo Delta Alpha Hotel. So, very interesting. We'll see how it goes, but a little bit of intrigue going on in the UK. Trying to cover less sad or awful stuff. Anyway. UK snack. It's... that's so funny. All right, let's keep moving. Let's go to The Hague. Let's talk about war crimes. That's right. The International Criminal Court said on Wednesday, the prosecutor's office said on Wednesday, they're going to formally investigate war crimes in the Palestinian territories, a move welcomed by Palestinian Authority and denounced by Israel. The decision follows a ruling by the court on February 5th that it has jurisdiction in the case, prompting swift rejections by Washington and Jerusalem. The decision to open an investigation followed a painstaking preliminary examination undertaken by my office that lasted close to 5 years, Prosecutor Fatou Bensouda said in a statement. Promising a principled, nonpartisan approach, she said, in the end, Our central concern must be for the victims of crimes, both Palestinian and Israeli, arising from the long cycle of violence and insecurity that has caused deep suffering and despair on all sides. So, yeah, that's kind of what's happening there. We're going to see what's going on. The next step will be to determine whether Israel or Palestinian authorities have investigations themselves and to assess those efforts. So, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the court's decision was undiluted anti-Semitism and the height of hypocrisy. He accused the court of turning a blind eye to Iran, Syria, and other countries that he said were committing real war crimes. And, as always, there's lots of vitriol, and depending on what side you talk to, the other side is completely evil and a horrible, horrible thing. So, just be aware, this is in the news, and maybe the people in Palestine will get a country. Yeah. Yeah, so that's going on. What else? We're not going to talk about the royals. That's no fun. But let's go down to Africa and talk about some of that stuff. Because, you know, I try and cover some African news every day. And this is kind of a sad take or a sad twinge on what we talked about yesterday. So there were hundreds of schoolgirls returned yesterday. Hooray. Well, additional reporting's coming out here. Nigerian soldiers opened fire in the town of Jangabe as 279 schoolgirls who had been kidnapped were being returned to their families a day after their release, according to two Reuters witnesses. At least three people were injured. It's not immediately clear why the soldiers began shooting. So, it's very interesting. There's not a lot of story. There's not a lot of details yet. But, it was very exciting yesterday when the kids were being, being returned. So, it's unnerving, but something to be aware of. Alrighty. So, what else is going on? Well, don't you worry. Our friends over in Myanmar are still being oppressed. Oh, oppressed. Oppressed, you say? Yep, hold on. I think I just closed my tab by mistake. Undo. Back. There it is. Myanmar sees deadliest day as 38 protesters killed. Security forces opened fire on large crowds in a number of cities, and at least two of the victims are believed to be teenage children. Mass demonstrations have been taking place across Myanmar since the military seized control on February 1st. It comes a day after Myanmar's neighbors called for restraint. Christine Schreiner-Bergener, the UN's envoy to Myanmar, described Wednesday as the bloodiest day since the coup took place on February 1st. She said more than 50 people have died since then. The coup saw elected government officials overthrown and detained. Protesters are calling for their release and an end to military rule. The military says it seized power because of alleged fraud in November's general election. But the military has provided no proof of allegations. Instead, it replaced the election commission and promised fresh polls in a year. So it's very, very jarring. Lots of photos and video available on the BBC's website if you want to actually see the violence. It's pretty scary. Now, to lighten things up, I thought this was kind of funny. The BBC was duped. So this comes to us from The Guardian, which I think is great. But the BBC has issued a correction and apology on its website for airing an interview with a man who claimed to be U.S. Senator Cory Booker, but was actually someone impersonating the Democratic politician from New Jersey. The UK's public broadcasting service said the interview appeared to be a deliberate hoax and that it had reached out with an apology to Booker and are looking into what went wrong to make sure it doesn't happen again. The interview was aired on February 26th, so we already missed it. It was on BBC's NewsHour radio program. The BBC said the interview has not appeared elsewhere, and no audio clips or videos are circulating online. The one Twitter user heard the interview on New York's WNYC public radio station and could tell something was amiss. Here's a quote from the U.S. listener. Listening to the BBC World Service NewsHour on WNYC and trying to figure out how they did an interview with someone they introduced as Senator Cory Booker, who I'm pretty sure was definitely not Senator Booker and didn't realize it. Other listeners voiced their confusion on Twitter over the interview, which appeared to be centered around the news that the White House would be placing sanctions on Saudi Arabia following the report that came out about Mohammed bin Salman. Let's see. Tweets. I don't like it when they use tweets in the story, but that's kind of who raised the alarm. Booker has not released any public statements on the interview. Occasionally, members of the media are the pranksters, and there was a deadly consequence in 2014 when a hospital nurse took her own life after falling for two Australian radio DJs calling up and pretending to be Queen Elizabeth and Prince Charles, inquiring after the condition of Princess Kate, Prince William's wife, who was a patient at the time. Welcome, Publius. Welcome, welcome. You are right here, dead in the middle of the show. I want to be sure and thank everyone for tuning in, and thanks to SDF for powering it on radio. Go to sdf.org. There's a fundraiser going on. Buy a cup or whatever. The store has stuff if you want to help them out. Okie doke. We still got lots of world news to whirl around in.
World news.
So let's go through two more, and then we'll play a short song. A short one. Little one. Scientists in Iceland say strong signs volcanic eruption is imminent. Scientists in Iceland have said there are now strong signs that a volcanic eruption may be underway following several days of near constant seismic activity near Mount Kellir. That's K-E-I-L-I-R. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. About 30 kilometers south of the capital of Reykjavik. We are not saying we have signs of an eruption has begun, Kristen John Deuter of the Icelandic Meteorological Service told local media, but this looks like the type of activity we expect in the run-up to an eruption. Ah, yes, sorry, the live middle of the show. We aren't saying, the thousands of tremors measuring up to 5 on the Richter scale have been recorded on the peninsula during the last week. Freystein Sigmundsson, a geophysicist, said that if it came, the eruption could also be delayed by several days. If magma reaches the surface, Freystein said, it is unlikely to be in the form of an explosion of lava and ash shooting into the sky, but rather what is known as a fissure eruption, in which lava emerges more slowly from a crack in the Earth's surface. That means there is unlikely to be a repeat of the chaos seen in 2010, when the 6-day explosive eruption of Iceland's more southerly, I'm going to put it in calm. Boop, boop. Eyjafjallajökull volcano caused huge disruption to international air travel. That was the volcano that had all the really cool lightning cloud kind of photos taken. It was really neat. Pronounce the J as Y. Eyjafjallajökull. Eyjafjallajökull. I'm sorry. Anyway, any lava flows near Mount Kellir are unlikely to reach populated areas, experts have said, but could interrupt air traffic to and from the Keflavik International Airport, which is about 20 kilometers from the main area of seismic activity and is on orange alert. So, this is pretty interesting here. There is also a chance that the road access to the airport could be cut off by lava flows, prompting authorities to drop contingency plans to divert flights and passengers. So, we'll see how that plays out. But, it's going to be interesting. Anyway, volcanoes are cool. I think they're pretty neat. What's going on? What is this? We're getting patents. Patents in comm. Patent in comm's always fun along. My cat. I don't know what's happening. Life is an adventure. Okay, we got to talk about some less... Well, you know what? Let's keep on with the seismic activity real quick. Powerful earthquake shakes central Greece. A strong earthquake struck central Greece on Wednesday, sending people near the epicenter running from their homes in a panic. Tremors were felt across the country and as far as Albania, North Macedonia, Kosovo, and Montenegro. The 6.3 magnitude earthquake hit after midday and was at a depth of 10 kilometers. The European Mediterranean Seismological Center, the EMSC, said. The epicenter was 20 kilometers south of Elassona, a town almost 400 kilometers from the capital of Athens. In the city of Larissa, 40 kilometers southeast of the center, people rushed out of their homes into the streets. Larissa resident Dimitri, 46, told Al Jazeera, "I was driving and everything started shaking. It was very scary." Georgios, 45, who also lives in Larissa, said, "I thought the floor was going to collapse. I was going on, and the trees were shaking like crazy. I didn't know what to do." So, lots of people were very scared. Several first-hand accounts. The last major earthquake in the area was in the 18th century and was magnitude 6.2. Manolis Skordilis, a seismologist at Thessaloniki's Aristotle University, told news agency ANA. Last October, an earthquake struck the eastern Greek Aegean island of Samos and nearby Turkish coast, killed 2 people on Samos and more than 100 people in Turkey. So, let's see what we got here. Calm is bumping and jumping, man. So definitely check it out. You can get to Calm by typing Calm, SSH over to sdf.org, then type Calm, C-O-M, hit enter, press G for go to, and then type a non-radio, all one word, all lowercase. When you hit enter, you'll get a cool ASCII art, a non-radio, and then you'll be in the chat room. Press H for help, and you'll be on your way. Since we don't have a ton of time, I'm just going to play a song that I already have queued up. This is called Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard. I've played this a few times, but I still think it's fun.
Get the news, get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Mama Pajama rolled out of bed as she went to the police station. When a papa found out, he began to shout and started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. What did Mama saw? Mama looked down and spit on the ground every time my name gets mentioned. Papa said, "Oh, if I get that far, I'm gonna stick him in the house detention." Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh man, what a song. Anyway, that's got a lot of fun. High energy, definitely says, it's definitely sung by some northerners, I guess. They do not know what Julio sounds like. But anyway, That's a good time. That's a fun song. I enjoy the energy out of it, at least. We have about 5 minutes and some change to go before the end of the show. I want to be sure and remind everyone that the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe happens every single day at 1930 UTC. And so stick around for that. It's a lot of fun. And then after that, go to anonradio.net. There's a schedule, has everybody's show, time slots. And from there, you can also go to the archives. So if you missed a past show, or if you just want to hear some more of whoever you're listening to, you can check out what they've said in the past. And the archive goes back, way back. So it's a lot of fun to hear what you sounded like years ago. All right. Well, that's going on. So let's talk more. Let's go through some just varied stuff in the U.S. and in the tech news sector. Just kind of everything that wasn't big world news. Because we don't got a lot of time. Parler is suing Amazon again after dropping its original lawsuit. The media app dropped its federal case against Amazon for cutting off its web hosting services and filed a separate lawsuit against the company and its web services unit in a Washington state court. The new lawsuit filed by Parler, which was first reported by NPR, accused Amazon of defamation and breach of contract. Parler is an app popular among American right-wing users, came back online last month after going dark in January as many service providers pulled back support, accusing of it failing to monitor violent content related to the January 6th attack on the Capitol. So, we'll see what's going on. Parler said there was lack of evidence it had a role in inciting the pro-Trump riots in the U.S. Capitol and argued it was unfair to deprive millions of law-abiding Americans of a platform for free speech. Google also removed the applications from its Play Store and Apple from its App Store. So, we'll see what's going on there. Whether or not that can be argued, we'll see. So let's go over to Romania real quick. This is pretty interesting, or at least seems neat to me. Romanian blockchain startup Elrond is preparing to have its new global payment app support Bitcoin this month as it looks to rival more established... That's an odd sentence. Reuters staff, your robo journalist needs some work. It looks to rival more established rivals, PayPal or Revolut, its CEO said, as it taps surging interest in cryptocurrencies. Led by a sharp rise in Bitcoin, digital asset markets rose above $1 trillion in early 2021 as big money managers and companies began to take the sector seriously. This transforms what once looked like a Mexican standoff. That's an odd... I don't like this article. We're just going to say that Elrond's developed a new blockchain technology which can process more than 15,000 transactions a second, compared with 7 and 14 transactions a second by Bitcoin and Ethereum. Its digital wallet and global payment app, Myar, this is very fantasy-driven, Myar, which launched on January 31st, has propelled Elrond's market value to $2.37 billion currently, according to CoinMarketCap. So, yeah, that's kind of neat. Anyway, the names, the company and the names of its products, I think they're all Lord of the Rings inspired, so it's kind of neat. All right. Well, what else is going on? Well, Zoom says users' issues likely from a localized internet glitch. Some Zoom video communications users were unable to join meetings on the video conferencing platform on Wednesday, which is likely due to a localized internet service issue, the company said. Outage tracking website Down Detector showed nearly 2,000 incidents of people reporting issues with Zoom at 9 a.m. Eastern. Separately, telecom operator Verizon Communications internet services were affected, with nearly 5,400 users registering complaints at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So, big Sherlock Holmes a moment to figure out what happened there. Wisconsin hunters have killed 216 moles in less than 60 hours, sparking uproar. Hunters and trappers in Wisconsin killed 216 gray wolves last week during the state's 2021 wolf hunting season, more than 82% above the authority's stated quota, sparking uproars among animal lovers and conservationists. The kills all took place in less than 60 hours, quickly exceeding Wisconsin's statewide limit of 119 animals. As a result, Wisconsin's Department of Natural Resources ended the season, which was scheduled to span 1 week, 4 days early. While department officials were reportedly surprised by the number of gray wolves killed, they described the population as robust, resilient, and expressed confidence in managing the numbers. So this is over on The Guardian if you want to read more about it. They go into detail. We just don't have time because I started late. I'm sorry. There's a lot more news I just can't get to because this has been news to me. Thank you so much for listening and stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. Wolves, sorry. I was talking way too fast.
That sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Begin transmission.
As part of our commitment to delivering you a remarkable experience, this call may be monitored or recorded.
It's 9:33 p.m.
Huh, well that was kind of an almost, but not quite. It is not 9:33 p.m., but I'm sure there are some clocks in this world that are reading that right now. The actual time is, of course, 1930 UTC, and I don't have to tell you that it is time to start the Dubious Goals.